I forgot how to say goodbye then.
Bye.
Bang.
Bye.
Hello and welcome to the Pop Buzz Podcast. I'm your host, James. On this week's episode, Woody will be guiding us through the latest developments in the Melanie Martinez story that's been making a lot of headlines this week. Now, if you've been keeping up to date with the Melanie Martinez story, you will know it involves sexual assault. If you or someone you know has been affected by any of the issues in that story, you can find details of organizations with information over on the website popbuzz.com. Katie will be taking us through all those Spotify end of year lists and our very special guest. You can't even see him, Mr. John Cena. Was in the building. He's talking his new film, Ferdinand. We play some games. He's a lot of fun, so stick around for that. But first, here are all the biggest stories in WTF News.
What the f*** is happening in the news?
All right, guys.
All right, not too bad, not too bad. It's a long week, long week.
A bit of a bummer to start the podcast on today.
By the way, can we just say long week? It's only Wednesday.
Yeah, it really is. Feels like a long week. It really, really does.
Yeah, so the biggest news story on PopBuzz this week, Melanie Martinez has been accused of sexual assault by her former friend and musician Timothy Heller in a Twitter post. In the post, she alleged that Melanie repeatedly made advances over the course of 2 days, which she rejected. Then Timothy claims that Melanie convinced her to smoke weed and then started fondling her breast, performed oral sex on her, and then penetrated her with a sex toy without her consent. Melanie has since responded to those claims, saying that she was horrified and saddened by the statements and the story told, but then said Timothy never said no to what we chose to do together. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where we're at. that's the development so far. That's where we're at.
And obviously, for obvious reasons, we can't speculate on what's happened, but there's a lot of things that we can talk about the story, particularly Melanie's statement. I think that's one of the things that has got people talking the most. She doesn't seem to have a very good idea of what consent is, does she?
No, it's a very convoluted statement. I mean, let's start by saying this. We had a big debate in the office, didn't we, about whether or not to cover this week. The answer is, of course, we should discuss this. It's the entire point of stories like this, is to open up discussions about these kind of issues, especially over the last couple of weeks. In terms of that statement, again, it's so difficult to know, isn't it? Because the news is breaking all the time on this story. We've just moments ago read a new interview with Timothy in Newsweek where she's divulged a load more details, where she's now alleging that Melanie knew that these allegations were going to come out and had been in touch with her. So then that makes me think how much of that statement had already been through several PR firms, you know, that they tried to get a new statement from her and didn't get anything. It's not a good statement, I can say that. It's really not a good statement, and definitely doesn't dispel any of the troubling things in the allegations, really.
Yeah, when she was approached, was it Newsweek?
Newsweek was the one that's just come out.
Newsweek approached Melanie's people again for another statement, and she just said that she stands by her statement, which is kind of very poor move. But a lot of her fans have been very supportive of Timothy. This is kind of one of the few nice things that's come out of this story. One fan account in particular has transferred from being a Melanie stan account on Twitter to actually a kind of support account for survivors of sexual assault, which is wonderful. And actually, on the post that we've written, there have been some really lovely people sticking up for Timothy, which has been heartening to see, you know,
because wonderful.
Often in these kind of circumstances, fans can like doggedly stick by their favorite artist and not perhaps consider an alternative to their hero.
You know, it's interesting as well, as I think even a few weeks ago, that might not have been the case. I feel like in the last few weeks, this big shift in our culture, it really does open up those conversations a lot more. And it is heartening to see. It really is.
Yeah, there are quite a lot of fans that are sticking by her. But what do you guys think about this? Because Melanie has quite young fans. A lot of them are young teenagers, probably younger than that. They're not as, you know, well adept and kind of understand the nuances of consent yet and how to talk about these things. What do you think is the best way to kind of talk about these issues, if at all, with them?
Is that too deep of a question?
I don't know.
it's a minefield, this one. It really, really is. And oh God, when the news broke, it is a heartbreaking thing. She's an artist we've really supported on the site. She's come in, we've interviewed her and everything before. And you just got to report the stories. You've got to, I really don't know what to say, man. It's so difficult. I agree that there's a very young audience there. And I think perhaps some of the more ardent people not looking at both sides of an argument and not even willing to hear Timothy Heller's story in any way, shape or form can be slightly forgiven given their incredible young age and perhaps maturity levels. You know, it's...
You say young age, though. Melanie's fans are woke, as I understand.
Well,
a lot of her songs cover like mental health, sexual assault in the songs, blah, blah, blah. Then this goes back to like the tweet thing. Like, are you too young? A lot of these stans and like casual fans or whatever, they're tweeting Timothy like directly saying you're a liar, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
Like, are you too young to know that's not...
Yeah, I suppose you're right.
I don't know.
No, you are right, yeah. Where's the line? Where's the age line where you say, actually, now you need to realise what you're doing is wrong? Man, it's a
mad.
Horrible situation, this story. It really, really is.
I forgot Tag Your It is about sexual assault, isn't it?
Uh-huh.
Well, this is the interesting thing. In the Newsweek interview that came out, that's come out today, she said that that's one of the things that made Timothy really want to speak out about this is the fact that she's positioned herself, Melanie, as an advocate for mental health and survivors of assault and everything, and just that hypocrisy. You know, she couldn't keep it in anymore.
Mm.
Man, it's a rough old week. It is a rough old week, this story. But like you say, some positives coming out of it, which is very nice to see.
Yeah, I'm hoping...
I know, it's tricky. Look, this is the thing. It's incredibly tricky to have these conversations. And like I say, we debated this in the office because normally on this podcast and normally on the site in general, to be honest, we try and tackle big issue stories, but obviously we try and keep a bit of a positive tone, especially in here. We try and have a laugh, don't we? You know, whether it's with the guests or otherwise, even when we're approaching things like whether it's Brexit or Trump or whatever, we try and have a bit of a tongue-in-cheek fun with it.
Yeah.
You can't with a story like this. We thought, can we talk about it? And you kind of have to.
Yeah, you have to.
You can't ignore it. That's the entire thing.
There's no jokes to be made here.
No, oh, God.
Sorry,
man.
Guys.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, I mean, where does it go from here, I suppose, is the next question. I mean...
I think we're just going to have to follow the story and see where it goes.
Yeah.
It feels very unresolved right now. And we're in the middle of it, so...
Well, you said, didn't you? I mean, you were citing earlier when we were chatting about this off air, we were saying about the power bottom situation, which I know was very different, but it did begin with allegations and ended with them being dropped by their label, but then later picked up by their label months later, rightly or wrongly. Maybe we're going to see more developments in that area. Who knows at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see if she could ever bounce back, you know, or any of those artists that are accused of those things. I think in today's climate, it just seems impossible to me.
Yeah.
And that's probably for the best.
Yeah.
And I don't think she should be treated any differently to the way the men
are
in the same situation are being treated right now as well.
No, exactly. 100%.
I won't be listening to Melanie Martinez this week. Will you guys?
No.
Did I ever?
Well, that's the real question. That's the real question.
What else has been happening this
week? Yeah, shall we lighten the mood?
Yeah.
Katie, guide us through the other big topic, the other much lighter topic that we've all been discussing in offices around the world, by the looks of it, according to the internet. Spotify's end of year stuff's come out, hasn't it?
It has, and I'm sure you will both be very disappointed.
okay.
So, guess who's number one on the most streamed artist,
right.
The most streamed male artist, the most streamed song, and the most streamed album?
Well, I mean, who could it possibly be? Do they play a fiddle with an Irish band by any chance? Oh. I mean, it's definitely Ed, isn't it? Of course
it's Ed.
Ed. Yeah, okay.
Yeah, and... the Galway girl played the fiddle, not Ed.
All right, so I'm so sorry. The lyrical nuances passed me by. I do apologise.
Yes, so he beat people like Drake, Kendrick, The Weeknd. So many peeps to become like the Spotify overlord.
What does this tell us about 2017? That it's just been worse than we actually thought?
No!
It's just a cherry on the crappy cake for you, Woody. Oh, is that what you're saying?
The altar of mediocrity has truly been preyed at this year.
Mate, Galway Girl is a banger. I will stand by that. Shape of You grew on me a lot.
It's
it grew
bop.
On me a lot, man.
A lot of them are, guys. You just need to admit it.
I would say Shape of You was his first song that I kind of found palatable.
Right.
Yeah.
We said this last week, though, that it's not even his best album. We did say that when we were talking about the Grammys, didn't we? That's one of my issues with this, is that it's sold such insane amounts of copies. But I guess it was the same with Adele as well. When they hit a certain peak level, of course it's going to be the biggest selling. Doesn't mean it's necessarily their best work.
What was your favourite Ed Sheeran album then?
Well, I would say the second one was better. What was that called?
I don't know. I've never listened to any other Ed Sheeran albums.
Really?
Was this your first?
Yes.
Was this your first Ed?
Wow. It was.
It's your first Ed.
How did you find the experience?
Fine.
Wonderful.
Anyway, something. Let's talk about something more important. The most streamed female artist.
Oh yes.
Do you know who it is?
I don't actually know.
Okay,
who it is.
I'll give you a clue. She didn't even have an album out this year. That's how iconic she is.
Oh, wait, is it Beyoncé?
No, it's not. She's
Tidal, isn't she? So that's not going to happen.
Some of it's on Spotify, but
Didn't even have an album out this year. So not Taylor, not Katie, not. God.
Is it Rita Ora?
Between me and you playing anywhere, yes. No, it was Rihanna.
What?
Oh,
the most
okay.
streamed female artist. Yeah, and second was Taylor, whose entire catalogue dropped in June, and she was the second most.
Wow.
And then Selena, Ariana, and I can't remember who the fifth one was. Sorry.
Okay.
Anyway,
Soz's fifth one.
Camila Cabello was the most streamed new artist, leaving Harry and Liam in the dust.
Well, that one, none of them are new artists, so that doesn't really count.
I have feelings on this.
Oh, okay. Go on.
I don't think they should be allowed.
Why?
Because they've got an unfair advantage.
Okay.
Of course they're going to be top in comparison.
Well, strap in, because I bet they're going to be nominated for every new artist award under the sun next year. So I'd get used to the idea, man. It's going to happen.
Yeah, Niall just won one, didn't he?
Oh, did
he? Fan vote.
Well, yeah, but still, he was still nominated, wasn't he? Yeah. Oh, yeah, Zayn was up for loads of stuff when he went solo. It's a weird one, isn't it? It is a weird one.
Let them live.
All right, then.
Justice for Niall. And boring, but Coldplay were the most streamed band. Which I'm sure is the Chainsmokers' impact there.
I'll have you know, Chris 100%. Martin is a dedicated listener to this show, and he's going to be horrified by
that.
That
was a very
comments.
Savvy, like a link up.
What, Chainsmokers and Coldplay?
I do kind of like that song.
Well, I think, you know, Coldplay are very worried about not appealing to younger people.
That's the ute.
That's why. Because they teamed up with Dua Lipa as well, didn't they?
Yes.
They're like the uncles trying to be cool. Oh, yeah, I like Dua Lipa. I like the Chainsmokers, yeah.
That's your best Chris Martin impression right there in the corner.
Hey, here he is. It's Chris Martin from the Coldplays.
Oh, I like sad songs.
He does say that.
This isn't
all
fair. This is
the
not
time.
Fair. Anyway, Spotify have also done that. The old personal playlist.
Oh right, okay. This is going to get interesting.
I mean, they read me for filth this year. Let's
go
not
on.
Go into it.
No, oh, we go. Let's know? Go into
okay.
it. Well, give us a highlight. Come on.
Okay. Well, my number one most played artist and most played song was Taylor Swift, which is
since
ludicrous.
Since June. Wow.
Since June. That's unacceptable. There's no...
you did it! You listened to it!
There's no way in hell I listened to Ready For It more times than I listened to Slow Hands, which came out in April.
Are you not trusting the robots on this
I've
one?
I've been hacked. This is Russian interference.
God, again?
I'm telling you.
Again. They'll come for anything. All right.
I was quite surprised. One of my top artists was that Lord Huron from 13 Reasons Why. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Were you just playing that on a loop?
Yeah, they did the night we met that song. I got obsessed with it, and now they're in my top five.
Hot damn.
So, there you go.
There you
facts
go.
That's about me.
Well done. Woody facts. There we go. On Pub Buzz.
My top artist was Halsey. I was very surprised.
I had a Halsey track in mind too. Just one, though.
You know, don't get me wrong, I love a Halsey bop, but I didn't think she would be my top artist.
Yeah, number one. You're a stan now. There it is.
I think they could make it up.
I think they're making it up.
I think they're making it up.
What do you think of the genres? Have you seen this? There's all the kind of weird genres. And my favourite one so far that I've seen is Indie Poptimist. I think that's really fun.
Ooh.
You're an Indie Poptimist. That's your vibe for the year. That's really fun.
I got post-teen pop.
Ooh, okay.
Oh. Yeah, it's like, okay. I didn't know that was a thing.
Pop.
It's got pop.
Maybe they haven't added snake pop yet.
Yeah.
I mean, that
makes it sound like you've got more mature taste than me. You're just pop.
I'm just pop.
I'm post-teen. Like what?
You'll graduate to pop someday. It'll be fine. And Stomp and Holler, of course, is the one that's taken the internet by storm, which because everyone was like, what does that mean? I think from what I can gather, it's sort of Mumford and Sonsy, men in a barn with a pint of cider and hay. And acoustic guitars.
I don't think I want to go there.
Did that not appear in your genre selection, Woody?
Surprisingly not.
Really?
No.
Fair enough. All right. We
are back on Pop Buzz, guys. Our guest today, very, very talented actor. You, of course, known from the world of wrestling as well. His brand new film is called Ferdinand. It's in UK cinemas December 11th. Ladies and gentlemen, John Cena's in the building. Here we go, sir. Well, I always try for you, sir. But welcome back to the UK for a start. It's really lovely to see you. As you can tell, we're already sporting the headgear relevant to the film, which is a wonderful thing. And I'm delighted. You've brought some Christmas gifts as well, John. I'm kind of stunned by this. This is no nonsense. These actually got given to us by John Cena 2 seconds ago. Do you know what these are, by the way?
Yes, I do.
He does know what these are. This is good. This is professional. Shall we open them up now?
Yeah.
All right, okay. Unwrap. Okay. I'll tell you what, while we're unwrapping, why don't you tell us what the film's about for people who haven't
seen it
yet?
That is something everyone needs, and they don't know it until they get it.
Okay.
So I think you'll all appreciate that.
Oh, God, I'm excited. Oh, yes. Wow. Oh, I'm very excited. It's film related. It's beautiful.
So we all have a place to hang our heads, and we all have like tables, and you all need to put a book on a table.
It's very true.
That's a coffee table.
God, this is the conversation starter on the coffee table. It really is because it was so much fun. This film,
pretty amazing on the inside. It shows the creation, all the animation, and the work that goes into making the movie.
John, I wish we'd brought a gift for you, mate. I feel
the
embarrassed
gift of
now.
Conversation? Are you kidding me, guys? This is great.
It's a beautiful thing. Oh, amazing. We did genuinely have a really, really nice time at the film, man. It's such a beautiful little family film. It really, really is.
Family film is a great way to describe it.
Absolutely,
it's one of those films that's going to resonate with audiences young and old. So
it's
a great time.
Oh, amazing. So how did you get into character playing Ferdinand the Bull? Let's be honest.
They just wanted me to be myself. I think the greatest thing about Ferdinand is through his big, larger-than-life muscular frame is an endearing, caring, lovable beast inside.
Yeah.
Like, and that was easy for me, man. I just wanted me to be myself.
It's so nice. It is so nice. And you say that as well. One of the lovely messages that comes through is when obviously it gets to the end with all the bullfighting and everything, and it's sort of like actually about being yourself and everything, you know. Where did that kind of message come from? Are you an animal lover, I should ask, I suppose?
Well, the book is over 80 years old.
Oh, wow.
So it's literally, this is a tale that's resonated with generation after generation.
Nice.
And it's when you read the short story, it's amazing for a book that was published and pressed in 1929, how like progressive it was.
Yeah, it really is.
How bold the statement was, and how the message still to this day rings very true.
No, it really, really is. You were thinking
that
as well.
I really agree with that, because when I was watching it, I was thinking Ferdinand kind of like, there's almost, not to get too deep about it, but
that's what's great about the movie. You take so much away, and you can have conversations like
this.
So please, like, let's go.
Let's go deep. Come on, let's do it.
But he kind of defies a gender stereotype and a toxic masculinity, and I kind of thinking, you know, particularly guys, you've come from the wrestling world, you know, how important is it that there are role models for young kids out there that kind of, you know, show a bit more heart and a bit more in touch with their feelings?
Well, it's good that you say that. Anybody who's familiar, and there we have so many WWE fans in the UK, anybody who's familiar with my WWE personality, they know that I deal with a fair share of adversity, and not just from the people I'm in the ring with. The audience itself, there's half of the audience that at the top of their lungs, they say, let's go Cena. And the other half says, Cena sucks. And this is a real thing.
That's true.
Genuinely, there's a large group of critical influence that wants me to change who I am. And I realize over the years, if I change, they're going to figure something else to pick on me about. So I'm not going to please them. And I'm going to turn my back on the people I care about, the people that support me. So I don't. And I deal with adversity just like Ferdinand, who's being bullied by all the other bulls to be like, you're this. Stand up for yourself. And you say, no, I'm not. So I really was honored to be able to take essentially what I've been known for 15 years and translate it into a family film. Because we have so such a large global family audience in WWE, and this sends the same message that I try to send on a weekly basis, and now you have it in a beautiful universe.
Amazing. God, it really is that deep.
It really is.
There's so many beautiful themes
all the way through. I think that everybody leaving the theater will have something like that to talk about. There's so many different journeys for all the characters, and I truly believe in this movie there is no villain, because everyone goes through a wonderful journey, and at the end, you know, whether you're a young audience member or an old audience member, you'll be able to talk to something. You can have a grown-up conversation about BBC, and you can young people can have a conversation, and young and old can have a conversation.
Sure.
And it's a very powerful movie in that regard.
Oh, beautiful.
Nice.
Beautiful stuff.
So in terms of acting, you're known for a lot of comedy. We've had Sisters, great, Trainwreck, amazing, and Ferdinand obviously is brilliant. But so are, like, The Rock and Dave Bautista as well. What is it about wrestling that prepares you guys for, like, comedy roles like that?
Well, it's storytelling, and I think anyone who's had long-term sustained success in the WWE, that has come with its share of failure and its share of embarrassing moments, because you're not always painted as the hero. Oftentimes you have to put your life out there and look silly. And I think a lot of comedy is being able to laugh at your hardships. Mm-hmm. That's what a lot of, that's what resonates with a lot of audience. So I just think WWE prepares you for every possible situation in life as a performer, and it allows you to not take yourself so seriously.
Very true.
Very true. Very, and you've worked with, like, opposite a lot of very funny ladies as well. So we've got a question. If you had to spend 24 hours trapped in a lift with Tina Fey, Amy Schumer, or Kate McKinnon, who would you choose?
That's so tough. You know, Kate does so well with developing characters.
Yeah.
I kind of feel like I'd be in the lift with 50 different people.
Yes.
So I think that's a great choice.
That's a very good answer.
If I ever got tired of one personality, she could just do another.
Woman of a thousand voices. She really is. That's great. We've got to talk wrestling, obviously, as well.
Sure, no,
so, I mean, one of the best things about you in the WWE, you have maybe the greatest entrance, I think, for me. You definitely have the greatest entrance.
That's a bold statement.
It's a bold statement.
There's going to be a lot of people who are blowing
up your
social media.
I'm sorry, fans online.
Right.
Look, Undertaker's up there for me. Undertaker's always been up there for me. But you, and the one thing I love about it so much is just the epic, no holds barred running straight to the ring.
Stride.
It's the best. But has
the
it ever.
Lumbering arms and legs.
Who said lumbering? I didn't say lumbering.
It's a sight to behold.
It really is.
See it live, it's even worse.
Why that? But this is
majestic.
The thing, though. Is it like, do you ever get a thought in your head, like you're halfway down the run, you're like, oh, I might trip up
every
here.
Every single time,
really?
Like, this is it. This is the time.
Oh, God.
And having done it, you know, thousands of times now, and, oh, well, I'm totally jinxing myself. I've never tripped. But it's always, this year, WrestleMania, Orlando.
Yeah.
The ring entrance was like an 18% grade of all LED board. And for, like, I'll speak commonly, it was like running down a skating rink.
Oh, God.
At an 18% grade for 75 yards.
Oh, God.
And this is the moment where I know, and nobody else, but I know I'm going to propose to the woman I want to marry.
Yeah.
And all I can think about is I'm going to bust my ass and go back down, and I'm going to totally ruin everything. If you watch, I mean, I run awkwardly, but if you watch me run that night, it was, like, very awkward. I was really thought I was going to slip. I couldn't slow down when Nicole waited for me at the bottom of the ramp, and I had to be like, come on, let's go, because I couldn't slow down. Down because I was afraid I was going to trip and fall. So it was, I think I'm going to trip all the time.
Look, it's not happened yet. That's the main thing. And also, of course, you have the iconic theme music. Again, one of my favorite theme musics in the world.
You know, you hear something enough times, and I guess it becomes catchy.
That's true. Let's go with that. Do people sing it at you in the street now, presumably? Yeah, I would imagine so.
And that's, you know, that I never view it as a curse. I view it as a blessing.
Yeah.
I remember I still remember, like it was yesterday, the very first time I heard those trumpets. And I was like, that's it. That's like, enter the arena. Let's get pumped. Like, it has everything. The track is just amazing. And the first time I heard it, I knew, like, that was it.
Yeah.
Especially for me. And I think when, as a performer, you resonate with the music, you make it a part of you. So I have. And I made the song, so I have such a close connection to it as well.
Of course.
I don't think people realize that. Like, so many people hear it, but they don't know, like, that I rapped it. Like, it's really crazy.
Yeah.
Is there any crazy, like, so many people are like, you're a rapper? You listen to the damn song. That's me.
That's the voice. It's
Wrote
coming
it all
through.
That. So, like, that's a pretty cool conversation piece as well.
Oh, it's amazing. And the fact that it got turned into a meme instantly as
love
well,
it.
Which, you've been so great with.
Love
I've seen
it.
All the online pranks and everything, all that stuff. Do you have any favorite, like, meme videos you've seen where John Cena suddenly crashes
in?
I
think the most iconic one, obviously, was the repeated prank call.
Right, yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's something that I've been asked to, like, oh, would you do something like that? And you can't. You can't, because it was done so well and resonated with so many people.
Yeah.
Like, it would be a cheap imitation if I were to try to do it again.
Not sure.
But that's something that, like, introduced me to an entirely different generation. And from that prank call, the lady couldn't get out of it. That's where, like, the John Cena interruption came from.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, like, all of these things had this domino effect where I'm just, you know, going from town to town, having matches here and there, and then I realized that the old internet generation now makes fun of me. which is awesome, because that means they're aware, and a few of them actually came to see some WWE shows, and hopefully they'll all go out to see Ferdinand.
I hope so.
Yes.
100%. If you're a fan of the memes, definitely go check out. Well, we know not got much time with you, but we want to play a very quick game, if
Let's
that's all right, John.
It.
We like to play some games here. So this is a game we call the Pop Buzz Confession Booth, right? So these are slightly probing questions.
Okay.
Just want you to be as honest as possible with us, John.
Still,
that's it.
the time of day where being slightly probed is acceptable.
That's good. I'm glad. We got in there semi-early morning where it's still a kind of acceptable point. Okay, so Woody, kick us off. Let's do it.
What's the biggest lie you've ever told?
Oh, that's that I obviously it's been public knowledge that I didn't want to get married again.
There you go. Nice to renege on that lie though. That's very good.
It certainly was.
Absolutely, good stuff.
Who was your first celebrity crush?
My first Blossom.
Oh wow. Yeah. Throw him right back. Yeah. Nice. That's good though.
Okay, the last time you cried.
Oh, I saw Ferdinand last night. I cried.
Oh,
I'm not kidding. Like that.
At which moment, in particular?
The beginning is extra special. The relationship that not only Ferdinand has with his dad, but Valiente has with his son, his dad. Mm-hmm. It's weird how animators can make silence and gestures so meaningful. And people are going to know when they see it. But aside from that, the last time, aside from Ferdinand, that I cried, I got to spend Thanksgiving with Nicole, which is we're going so busy lately that we just kind of go opposite ways. And we hosted for the first time.
Oh, nice.
And we always dance to Etta James, that last one, ever it comes on, no matter where we are. So like right in the middle of Thanksgiving dinner, it came on because we just had Pandora on. So we got to share a room. And you can tell I'm already getting weird, but it was cool.
That's so sweet.
That's beautiful, man. Yeah. Dancing up around the dinner table. Oh, that's cool. So beautiful. Oh, I love that.
Jesus.
Right, here we go.
Okay, well, I hate to lower the tone.
It's okay.
John Cena, have you ever stolen anything?
I've stolen the heart of the woman I love.
Oh, what are you doing to us, John? Come on. Emotional interview today in the Pop Buzz studio. All right, last one. And let's, the most emotional question on the sheet here. Let's really do it.
Or metaphorically, when was the last time you shat your pants, John Cena?
Oh, man, I'm good for, as George Brett would say, I'm good for two or three of those a year.
Right, okay.
As a 40-year-old man, I've done plenty of business in my life, and sometimes business doesn't agree with you.
And on that wonderful note, John, it's so nice to see you, man. Ferdinand is in cinemas December 11th. Please, please, please do go and see it. Brilliant family film for
Thank
Christmas.
Thank you guys for the time and the probing.
Oh, mate, any probing, anytime, my friend. John Cena, everybody. There he is. Wow. Right, first things first, we'll be putting the videos from that up, as we always do. Shall we explain the hats? Because we did not mention them in that interview at all, right?
Yeah, he kind of walked in, and he's like, there's three of you. And I was like, yeah. And he just, hands out these, red Santa hats with the bloody horns on it.
The horns from Ferdinand from his film. Yeah, it's a sight to behold. Please do go check it out on YouTube and on the website.
Describe what the present was.
I think we did. In case it wasn't clear, an art book we were handed, which was beautiful, signed by Mr. John Cena and the artist as well. It's a beautiful gift. I was kind of taken aback, but that's how nice he was, wasn't it? He was a very nice man. It's got to be said.
He was super nice, and also the book is really, really nice.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Have you had a flick through?
Yeah, it's a proper coffee table book.
Proper artwork in there.
Can you believe it? An animated film artwork.
Amazing.
Who knew?
Who knew?
Who knew?
When I shook his hand, I've never felt so, safe and threatened at the same time.
Me too.
But I was like, you could crush me, but you would also protect me.
You know, it's weird. I normally, we're in the studio now, obviously. I normally stand by this microphone, and he was sat down, and yet he was at eye level with me, and it was quite intimidating across the room. He's a big fella. He really is.
But
what an unbelievably lovely man. So we should do the ratings out of five like we've been doing. I feel bad now because I've been having a go at you two the last couple of weeks because we've been too nice. But how can we not be nice again? What an unbelievably lovely, sweet man. What are we going with, guys?
He's off the scale.
He really is.
A 15.
It's a 15.675.
Wow. Exceeded
expectations, gave us presents, was very nice.
Actually, you know what? I think he gets those bonus 10 points for the presents alone, doesn't he, really? Double presents, hats and books. I mean, step it up, Louis Tomlinson. Where are your presents? Do you know what I mean?
Basically, if there's anyone that wants to come on the podcast, bring us some presents and we will sing your praises.
Wonderful.
We will do anything for you.
Very true.
I will plug your album till the cows come home. I just want presents.
That's true. We're very easy in that regard. Just presence. It's all we want. That is about it for this week, guys. Shall we give a little clue as to the guest for next week? Are we going to give a little clue, shall we? I mean, you saw the film today, Katie, so I mean...
Oh, that one.
Dear Lord, am I the only one who pays attention to any of the planning for this bloody show?
Like, we don't know. Who is it?
Dear God. All right, come on. What are we thinking? Give us a little clue. Give us a little clue. Katie, you saw the film today.
Oh, I know. I'm really bad at clues. They're really obvious.
Well, pick one out of the film. Come on. What are you going to go for?
Singing.
Oh, wow. How unbelievably descriptive. Woody, what are you going with?
Singing.
Singing again? And I'll say singing. Singing, singing, singing. There's your clues, guys.
Acting.
Oh, God. Wow.
Dancing.
Dancing.
Wow, what an unbelievably generic set of clues. It's almost like you've forgotten who we were chatting to until 30 seconds ago. Oh, well. It's a good one anyway. And I'll tell you what, there's your bonus clue. It's a returning guest to the show, ladies and gentlemen. Go have a little look back and see if there's anyone who can sing, act, and dance who's been on this entertainment-based podcast before. Ooh, who could it possibly be? We'll be back next week. Please do make sure you go ahead and subscribe over on iTunes. We're also on Blog Talk now, pushing out to all those lovely podcast apps. So go and find us wherever you listen to your podcast. We'll be back next week. Until then, it's goodbye from Katie. Say goodbye.
Bye.
It's goodbye from Woody. Say goodbye.
Ciao.
And it's goodbye from me. We will see you next week.